Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome
to Magnets, Crystals, and Pyramids. I am your host, Brother Ankh Rising Sun. Each week, at least most weeks, this summer has been a beautiful break. I want to thank you for joining us. We have a special event happening in Harlem on Friday, July 28th, a parade for an African avatar that I only recently became aware of. Here in America, we don't hear about the magical, powerful influences of African spiritual leaders. We don't hear often about African spirituality. So that is why we share with you on this show distinguished individuals who can give us insight into various spiritual practices coming from Africa. So often in the Christian paradigm, we have people who don't look like us. We have pictures of a Roman Caesar's son being depicted as Jesus. We think of angels as being pale-skinned. We think of the prophets of old as being from England or Europe, with the miseducation, mass mind control. We have to become aware that even Africa has been misrepresented on the globes found in American school systems. You can take five United States and fit them inside of one continent of Africa. Africa is a huge continent. Unlike the globes that I grew up with in grade school that made Africa only look a third larger than America. So you and I and we have to liberate our minds to the reality of a global awareness to the truth that has happened. I acknowledge ascended masters on this show. I acknowledge at this time, Ascended Masters Saint Germain, that has been very influential on my live stream. I acknowledge Ascended Master Simeon Toko, the Christ that was born in Africa. We haven't heard about that. The Christians in America have not been told about the latest Christ that's been born in Africa, calling forth an army of black angels to remove the Belgians from the Congo, had his body chopped up, destroyed over 15 times. Average Christian in America does not know that the latest avatars are colors, deep hues of brown and blue-black, looking like you and more. So this show is featuring another Islamic African avatar named Sheikh Amadou Bamba, and how they're having a parade for him in multiple cities, and this Friday it will be July 28th in Harlem. So I also want to acknowledge my good friend, Ifa Kunle, Babalao Ifa Kunle, he's on the line. I want to acknowledge Sheikh Sufi, and he's on the line listening and going to share with us the insights about this Friday here in Harlem. Sheikh Sufi, welcome to the show.
Auzu billahi bismi ilahi inamalihullahu. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Peace and blessing.
Alaikum salam. And shalom and peace and all the sacred words.
In every language.
In every language that is divine to us. I also want to invite onto the show. Let me see if he's going. Let me see where my brother is, because he lives in Harlem. I call him the chief of Harlem. Babalao Ifa Kunle. I want to invite him on the show at 917-570-917-570. Oh, I don't see him. I don't see him in the queue. 917-570. Okay. All right. So, Sufi,
yes.
I am a recent student realizing who Sheik Amadou Bamba is. Tell us about who he is and how is there going to be a parade in Harlem and multiple cities happening and starting this Friday in Harlem, July 28th at 9 a.m. Who is this man?
Who is this man? Who is the man in all white? This is a very good question. Bismillah Ahmad Rahim. Sallallahu Alaihi Muhammad Baki Sirin Bamba. Sheik Amadou Bamba is the most important history or historical figure in Islam. Since the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, there has not been a figure in Islam that is more important for Islam, for people in Africa, and especially for people of African American descent or Muslims abroad or in the world, because Sheik Amadou Bamba, his mission is for every Muslim or for everyone. His mission is for every lover of God, I should say. His mission is bigger than Islam, because in one of his poems he says, "Irham Jami Awada Ya Hadiyan Rada'a Ya Malik Al Mulki." He says, "O King of Kings, give your mercy to all lovers of God." So Sheik Amadou Bamba is here for the people of Islam, but he's here for the people that love God. Because when they ask Sheik Amadou Bamba, "What is your religion?" Sheik Amadou Bamba said, "My religion is love." So also they asked Sheik Amadou Bamba, "Who will you intercede for in the next life?" As we know, there will be Yom Kiyamah, there will be a day of judgment, and the friends of God have been given intercession for those people who are with them. And so when they asked Sheik Amadou Bamba, "Who will you assist on the day of judgment?" Sheik Amadou Bamba said, "I will help anyone who said anything nice about me." So this is bigger than what we can imagine. So if you're on this call, just say, "I like Sheik Amadou Bamba." Just say it one time. He's going to help you. So
I love Sheik Amadou Bamba.
Now, when it comes to prophetically speaking, I want to make a few things clear. Sheik Amadou Bamba, he lived before the turn of the century in Touba, West Africa. He was born, I think, 1853. He left his body in 1927. But the master, Sheik Amadou Bamba, he said some very peculiar things while he was here. First of all, Sheik Amadou Bamba, he said, "I have a lot of disciples on the other side of the ocean." Uh-oh, wait a minute. Three prophecies. Sheik Amadou Bamba said, "My true disciples do not speak Wolof." That's one. And he said, "I have a lot of disciples on the other side of the ocean." Two. And he said, "There are people who are close to me who are far from me, and there are people who will be far from me who will be close to me." So these prophetic sayings are about us who were born in America, because Sheik Amadou Bamba knew he would have a lot of disciples on the other side of the ocean, and he said his true disciples would not speak Wolof. And when you talk about Sheik Amadou Bamba, you have to mention Sheik Ibrahim Fall. Sheik Ibrahim was with Sheik Amadou Bamba, and Sheik Ibrahim was the first one to say "Amerik a Murid," "Amerik a Murid." What that means is that I'm gonna tell the story. We got a few minutes. One of Sheik Ibrahim's disciples came from America with some luggage that Sheik Ibrahim had never seen. Some articles for the house and luggage, suitcases. Sheik Ibrahim never seen these things. Sheik Ibrahim asked his disciple, "Where did you come from with this stuff? I've never seen this." And the disciple says, "Fall, I came from America." And Sheik Ibrahim said, "No, you're pronouncing it wrong." He said, "No, the country's called America." Sheik Ibrahim said, "No, it's not America. It's Amerik a Murid." And Sheik Ibrahim was telling him that wherever you came from, those people are disciples of Sheik Amadou Bamba.
Wow.
So, Sheik Ibrahim said, "It's not America. It's a Murid," which means disciples of Sheik Amadou Bamba. So by them, and then another prophecy, let me tell you something. In our tradition, we have what's called the Brio tradition, which is oral history. I was blessed to sit with some high people in the holy city of Touba. They said, now, maybe I shouldn't say this in public, but I'm going to say it. Sheik Amadou Bamba and Sheik Ibrahim said they worked in America for 100 years. Now, how can you explain that? Sheikh Ahmed Bamba, Sheikh Ibrahim Fall. Sheikh Ibrahim Fall said, me and Sheikh Ahmed Bamba was in America working for 100 years. So, to know about Sheikh Ahmed Bamba and his mission in life, his mission, Sheikh Ahmed Bamba said, Buduwan Dom Adama Domatok Chi Chikausu Bin Minit. Sheikh Ahmed Bamba said, if it wasn't for the children of Adam, I would not stay on the planet Earth for 1 minute. He said, if it wasn't for the children of Adam, Bani Adam, I, Sheikh Ahmed Bamba, would not stay on the Earth for 1 minute. So we live inside of what we call the Matrix. People are trapped inside of the Matrix of the mind, the cobwebs of American society, stuck in the mud. If you didn't learn anything else from Sheikh Sufi today, please learn this. The only way out of the Matrix is to find someone who is outside of the Matrix. The only one out of the Matrix, Neo, is to find someone who's not sleeping in the Matrix, who is outside of the Matrix. That is why the Buddha said, I am the awakened one. Sheikh Ahmed Bamba is an awakened being who came in Senegal, West Africa, to wake people up out of the sleep of illusion of separateness from Allah, from God. So his whole mission is to take people back to God. He calls his order Muridullah, which means worshipers of God or disciples of God who have the willpower to return to God. His whole way is taking people back to God. And to know about Sheikh Ahmed Bamba in America is a miracle because, one, he's African. He's dark-skinned. He looks like us. If Sheikh Ahmed Bamba was an Arab, he would be the most known sheikh in the history of Islam. If he was an Arab, he would be more known than Rumi. He would be more known than Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. He would be more known than Sheikh Ahmed Tijani. But since he's a black African, dark-skinned African, he's not known. His history is overlooked. But Sheikh Ahmed Bamba says in one of his writings, Masalik al-Jinnan, Sheikh Ahmed Bamba said in Masalik al-Jinnan, the black skin does not denote ignorance. Perhaps a light rain precedes a heavy downfall. Sheikh Ahmed Bamba said the black, he wrote that in his book, Masalik al-Jinnan. He said the black skin does not denote ignorance, and perhaps a light rain precedes a heavy downfall. Meaning the sheikhs that came before him were like a light rain. And when he's come, he's bringing like a heavy downfall of rain. So to get to the point, Sheikh Ahmed Bamba Day has been recognized in many cities across the country, across America. It's been recognized by the mayor of New York, the mayor of Atlanta, the mayor of Los Angeles, and the mayor in Raleigh, North Carolina. They have edicts to celebrate the Sheikh Ahmed Bamba Days in these cities. Also in Ohio, it's going to be in Ohio. I think it's coming up. They had Sheikh Ahmed Bamba Day in California last week. This Friday, we will celebrate Sheikh Ahmed Bamba Day in Harlem, New York, Harlem World, where Biggie at. This Friday in Harlem, we celebrate Sheikh Ahmed Bamba Day from 116th Street, Adam Clayton Powell, to 125th Street, Adam Clayton Powell. There will be a march. The Bifal will be there singing La-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la- 25th Street in Harlem. That will be this Friday, July 20. Every July 28th is Sheikh Ahmed Obama Day in Harlem. Wherever you are in America, every July 28th is Sheikh Ahmed Obama Day in Harlem. They'll be in Harlem from 9 a.m., which is actually African time. So when people from Senegal, West Africa say 9 a.m., believe me, they don't mean 9 a.m. It probably won't start till about 10 a.m. But that's in Harlem this Friday. Harlem this Friday, 9 a.m., they will have the march for Sheikh Ahmed Obama. The next Sheikh Ahmed Obama Day celebration will be in Raleigh, North Carolina. It'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina, August the 9th. If you need information on that, you can email me at shakesoupy@gmail.com. Raleigh, North Carolina, August the 9th. And then the big three-day celebration in Atlanta, Georgia. Sheikh Ahmed Obama community just bought a community center and a masjid in the West End, right in the hood where it needs to be. Sheikh Ahmed Obama's community just bought a nice building and a masjid community center in the West End in Atlanta. They're having a grand opening to celebrate Sheikh Ahmed Obama Day August 11th, 12th, and 13th. August 11th, 12th, and 13th, there will be a three-day celebration for Sheikh Ahmed Obama in Atlanta. So if you're close to any of these cities, also it's going to be in I had the date. It's going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio in the next couple of days, but I can't remember the exact day. But it's going to be in Cincinnati, Ohio, then in New York this Friday, August the 9th, Raleigh, North Carolina, August 11, 12, 13 in Atlanta, Georgia. So this is what we're looking forward to celebrating, the day of Sheikh Ahmed Obama here in America. And I want to open it for any questions, or you got something else you want to add, Brother Ankh?
Yes, I want to add just the about two nights ago, and I'm sharing this with the audience because what I have found in muscle testing, Sheikh Sufi, you know, I muscle test when putting together crystals, I muscle test when putting together magnet combinations. So what I did was saying, okay, you know, if you're talking about an African avatar that can seemingly connect with you with your personal request, I want to see if this is possible. So what I did in a clinical analysis is I would lift like a 35-pound weight. I started with a 35-pound weight. And the reason I'm leading to this, family, is Ascended Masters, you can have a personal relationship with Ascended Masters. And when I lift the 35-pound weight, I feel the effort of the weight. You know, it's like, okay, this is a 35-pound kettlebell. Then I say, with respect and gratitude, Sheikh Amadou Bamba, if you are real, can you please hold my hand so I know that you're real when I lift this kettlebell again? And when I do that, instantly, Sheikh Sufi, the 35-pound kettlebell feels like it drops down to about 15 pounds.
Now, wait a minute. Since we're telling, brother, since we're telling our testimonies, I want to share my own testimony on how I first tested Sheikh Ahmed Obama. When I was in Touba, Senegal, my first trip to Senegal was in 1996. And when I went to Touba the first time, I stayed for 2 months, and they told me a lot of stories about Sheikh Ahmed Obama. I had translators. They told me Sheikh Ahmed Obama had all these powers. Sheikh Ahmed Obama does this. Sheikh Ahmed Obama is so powerful. I'm from America. I didn't believe everything they said. I was doubting the power of Sheikh Ahmed Obama. That night in the holy city of Touba, before I went to sleep, I said, my mother had died. My mother died like 3 years before I went to Touba. My mother died about 3 years before I went to Touba. That night, I said, Sheikh Ahmed Obama, if you got all this power people say you got, I want to see my mama. I want to see my mother. That night when I went to sleep, I swear to God, Sheikh Ahmed Obama came in my dream holding my mother's hand. They was both smiling at me. That's when I said, no way, he got power. How can he bring my mother's soul to see me the same night holding her hand? Out of all the souls on the unseen world, Sheikh Ahmed Obama brought my mother to see me that night. That's when I said, nope, no more doubt. This man got power.
So I want to acknowledge also on the radio, I want to acknowledge Amber. I want to acknowledge Eduardo, because me and Eduardo had an awesome experience where we did an invocation of Sheikh Amadou Bamba and other Ascended Masters, and he could feel their presence. He's like, whoa, wait a minute, man. They're talking to me. And Amber, she could feel the energy. A beautiful sister friend, I'm not even going to say her name because she said she don't want to talk, and you know, I'm not going to mention her name. But, you know, people can actually feel the energy difference in the voltage in their muscles and their cells when they invoke his name. I'm speaking of doing, like, I'm sitting here, and I was raised like a Jehovah's Witness, so I don't want to hear nothing about religion. But once you finish that cycle of Jehovah's Witnesses and getting out of that cult, you're so caught up in getting your own mind back that you don't want to join nobody's church, nobody's religion, but in exploration of spirituality, I have been with Professor Kareem introducing me to an African avatar named Sheikh Amadou Bamba. I'm like, huh? How come I ain't never heard about him? Bulletproof? The French shot him and he didn't die? So tell us a little bit about his life. I mean, you know, like the Germans throwing him out of an airplane and he's on the ground when they land. You know.
Man, Sheikh Amadou Bamba is metaphysical, invincible. He's damn near biblical. When you hear Sheikh Amadou Bamba's story, you're like, hold on, is this a real person or is this a mythological character? I want to start out by saying we only have one picture of Sheikh Amadou Bamba. The French and his family took hundreds of pictures of Sheikh Amadou Bamba, and he never would show up on camera. His vibration was so high, the Sheikh would not show up on camera. So close to the end of his life in the city of Durbel, the family members came to Sheikh Amadou Bamba and said, Sheikh, we've taken your picture several times. You never show up on the camera. Every time we develop it, you're not on the film. Can we please take your picture and you show up so that people in the future will not say that you never were here, that people will say, yes, he was here and you weren't some mythological character. So Sheikh Amadou Bamba came outside, wrapped a collar around his face. They took the one picture and he showed up on the picture. This is the only picture we have of Sheikh Amadou Bamba. So there's so many mystical stories about Sheikh Amadou Bamba. I will share a few. From birth, he had power. When Sheikh Amadou Bamba, first of all, let me talk about his mother. Sheikh Amadou Bamba's mother was named Mariama Busso. Mariama Busso was the reincarnation of the mother of Jesus in Africa. I said it in public. Sheikh Amadou Bamba's mother was the mother of Jesus, reborn in Africa to give birth to the holy being of Sheikh Amadou Bamba, point blank. This is what they teach in the villages. So when Sheikh Amadou Bamba was born, Sheikh Amadou Bamba said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When he came out of his mother's womb, he said, all praises due to God, the Lord of the worlds. He said that when he was born as a baby. He exhibited mystical powers as a child. One of the stories is his mother, Mamdara Busso, said, I never spent one night with my child in the room. His mother, Mamdara Busso, said, every night a light would come to the room and take the baby up through the ceiling, and every morning the light would bring Sheikh Amadou Bamba back to his mother when he was a child. Now, I need to stop right there because I tell things that's beyond the comprehension of the listeners. And when you say things, they told me when I was in Tuba, they said, listen, what we know about Sheikh Amadou Bamba is not public information. They said, when you go to America, only talk about Sheikh Amadou Bamba in a way that the people can understand. So I'm not going to tell no more of the mystical stories about Sheikh Amadou Bamba today. I think that's enough. What we do want to say is that Sheikh Amadou Bamba, he wrote over 1,000 books. He wrote over 1,000 tons of manuscripts with his own hand. You can go to the holy city of Tuba and see the Tuba library where they have over 1,000 books written by Sheikh Amadou Bamba. Sheikh Amadou Bamba was fighting against the French colonializers in Senegal. The French were killing Islamic leaders in West Africa to establish Christianity in West Africa. So what they did was they exiled many of the Muslim leaders who wouldn't stop teaching, and they killed them in Gabon. They executed them. So when the French found out about Sheikh Amadou Bamba and his movement of peace and nonviolent resistance, they called Sheikh Amadou Bamba to court to tell him to stop teaching Islam. Now, amazingly, when they called Sheikh Amadou Bamba to court to stop teaching Islam, the first thing he did when he got to the courtroom, he put his prayer rug down in front of the judge, said Allahu Akbar, and prayed 2 rakats in the courtroom. That's when they said, this man going to be a problem. The judge told Sheikh Amadou Bamba, I need you to salute the flag, the French flag, in my courtroom. Sheikh Amadou Bamba refused to look at the flag. The judge told him, I'm the power in the courtroom. You must do as I instruct you. I want you to salute the flag. Sheikh Amadou Bamba told the judge, you are not the power. You are not the judge. Sheikh Amadou Bamba said, Allah is Al-Hakam. He is the judge. You have no power over me. Then the judge told him one more time, I'm asking you and I'm ordering you to salute the French flag in my courtroom. Sheikh Ahmed Obama said to the judge, okay, if I salute this French flag in this courtroom, the French government from this day on will begin to fall and it will never come back up. The judge said, okay, you don't have to salute the flag.
Wow.
The judge told him, okay, you don't have to salute the flag. So right then they said, this man is trouble. He's going to be a lot of trouble. They took him and put him in a room with a lion. They starved the lion for 3 days. They pushed Sheikh Ahmed Obama in the room with a hungry lion for 3 days. When they opened the door, the lion jumped out on them white devils and started killing the French soldiers. And Sheikh Ahmed Obama was in the room praying. So this is the type of stories that they have of Sheikh Ahmed Obama. And then they said, okay, we couldn't kill him with the lion. They put Sheikh Ahmed Obama in a small corridor and sent a raging bull to charge at Sheikh Ahmed Obama. All the witnesses said when the bull ran and got close to Sheikh Ahmed Obama, the bull was lifted up into the sky. And the bull never came back down. The people who were said the angel Jibril came and lifted the bull. The angel came and took the bull up into heaven and never brought it back down. It's so many stories of Sheikh Ahmed Obama to where I'll tell one more mystical story. One time the French were trying to kill Sheikh Ahmed Obama, and they couldn't kill him, so they built a fire like the fire that the Prophet Ibrahim was in. They built a big, huge pit of fire. And they pushed Sheikh Ahmed Obama in the fire. Sheikh Ahmed Obama was making his salat in the fire. And Sheikh Ahmed Obama stayed in that fire for 3 days. Sheikh Ahmed Obama did not come out of the fire until his mother went in the fire and said, Sheikh Ahmed Obama, what are you doing in this fire? You have a mission. Come out of this fire and finish your mission. Then that's when Sheikh Ahmed Obama came out of the fire. There's so many stories of Sheikh Ahmed Obama, and his power is immaculate. One other story was the French tried to kill him so many times. On one story, Sheikh Ahmed Obama walked on water. He made salat on the ocean. When they were taking Sheikh Ahmed Obama into exile, and this would be the last story. I said I wasn't going to tell too many. When they were taking Sheikh Ahmed Obama into exile, they put him on a boat to go from Senegal to Gabon. When he was on the boat, the French said, hey, we don't want you to pray to God on this boat. We don't believe in the God you're praying to. And we know you're a nice man. You don't want to offend anybody. If you pray again on this boat, we'll be offended because we don't believe in the God you're praying to. But if you don't pray, it'll offend God. So what are you going to do? You can't pray on our boat no more. Sheikh Ahmed Obama said, okay. He went to the side of the boat. He put his prayer rug on the ocean. He stepped off of the boat, said, Allahu Akbar, started making salat on the ocean. The French soldier said, the French soldier said the prayer rug was moving with the boat, and they said they saw sand on Sheikh Ahmed Obama's forehead when he would make his prostrations. After he finished the praying on the ocean, he walked on the water and got back on the boat. Now, the people of esoteric knowledge, listen to how deep this story is. In that ocean was the dead bodies of slaves that died in the Middle Passage. A lot of those slaves who died in the Middle Passage were Muslim. A lot of the people in the esoteric path say that when Sheikh Ahmed Obama was on the ocean praying, he was doing the Janazah prayer. He was doing the prayer for the dead people from Africa that died in the intercontinental slave trade. He was actually praying for those souls that were of the dead bodies at the bottom of the ocean. So
that's awesome.
This is the part of the story of, and I wrote a book on Sheikh Ahmed Obama's life called Sheikh Ahmed Obama Life Teachings and Poetry. You can find that on Amazon. I have another unreleased DVD on Sheikh Ahmed Obama, where I tell a lot of the secret teachings and stories of Sheikh Ahmed Obama. That DVD is not available online. If you want that DVD, you have to send the donation to sheikhsufi@gmail.com via PayPal. The DVD is only $10. If you want that, you can send $10 and $5 for shipping, total of $15. I can send you the DVD of me telling the story of Sheikh Ahmed Lumumba, and that DVD is not available online. So that's what I want to say. We're celebrating his life. There's so many stories about Sheikh Ahmed Lumumba. We could talk to you blue in the face. Bismillah, yes.
Sheikh Sufi, I want to share this because you're rearranging. You've been rearranging my wiring. You know, I said I got to hook you up with a nice magnetic necklace, and I'm going to do that, bro. because you've been rewiring. Since I met Professor Kareem, you and him have taken a cosmic egg beater and scrambled my wiring into an upgraded state that I'm like, damn, I'm okay. Wow, I have friends in the spiritual realm. I can communicate with them. Hearing you describe these stories has been very healing for me. And I was raised as a Christian. I was raised, you know, like I said, my mom and dad did the best they could, you know, here in America, you know, with the religion, you know, to give us some kind of morals. But I went into the Native American circles. I used to go to the powwows, you know, to find my place. I got involved in sweat lodges. And then I was introduced into Native American psychedelics. Well, then really Native American spiritual herbs. And then when I met Professor Kareem, he told me about Sheikh Ahmed Lumumba. Then I studied and learned about Saint Germain and the Ascended Masters. Then I learned about the Ascended Master, the Christian Ascended Master named Simeon Toko. So I said, well, if these guys are real, I can take my ayahuasca and go in and have a personal conversation with them. Sheikh Sufi, family, in my experiences, there's nothing more beautiful, more healing, more profound than whatever food you eat, whatever herbs you smoke. Ask the Ascended Masters to guide your experience of food. Ask the Ascended Masters to guide your experience with sacred entheogens. Let your life be a personal experience with whichever avatar that looks like you. So in the miseducation and the social programming and finding that the most recent avatar in Islam is carbon magnetic black, to find that the most recent Christian avatar, also known as Christ, kicked the pale folks of Belgium out of the Congo, that was healing for me as living a man living in America. To find out that Simeon Toko invoked the angel, an army of bulletproof angels that were black in the Congo that chased the Belgians out, that were bulletproof, turned over their tanks, turned over their heavy guns and artillery, and they ran for their rabbit-ass lives. Now you're telling me that the bull was carried off by the angels while they tried to destroy this black man who was actually an avatar beyond the color of skin. But because racism is an institution of rulership throughout the world, knowing that Sheikh Ahmed Lumumba, knowing that Simeon Toko are revolutionaries of love, and the racism is obsolete with the knowledge that you can have a direct experience with these avatars. You can call them to you. Is that who? Does that make sense, Sheikh Sufi?
Brother, there's a Quranic verse. There's a verse in the Quran to verify everything that you're saying. It says in the Quran, say not that those who have died in the way of their Lord are dead. Surely they are alive with their Lord. Let me say that again. In the Quran, it says, say not that those who have died in the path of God are dead. Surely they are alive with their Lord. So these beings, such as Simeon Toko, Sheikh Ahmed Lumumba, they reach the state of fana, or death before death. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, he says, mutu qabla mut, he says, die before you die. So these people, these beings, have date of dying before they died. And at that state, they are alive with their Lord when they leave the body. That's why in the Bible it says, I die daily so that I might live with God. And the story of the Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, the mythological story of him dying on the cross, because we know in Islam, Jesus did not die on the cross. They are lying. There's no way they could kill the holy avatar Jesus. Jesus did not die on the cross. But that story is significant of someone who had died to the physical plane or the fourth dimension of time and space, north, south, east, and west. The cross represents the physical world of the north, south, east, and west cardinal points. So someone who dies on the cross, symbolically meaning they had died to this physical world and they had become immortal with God inside of themselves. So a being like Sheikh Ahmed Obama, he definitely died before he died. So when he left his body, he actually became more powerful. You can invoke Sheikh Ahmed Obama and see him. Many people, I'd say 95% of the people I give the initiation to, 95% of the people I give the bayout, I give initiation to people to be disciples of Sheikh Ahmed Obama. 9 out of 10 people, they see him in their dream. They come and to a certain point where Sheikh Ahmed Obama will come and talk to you in your dream. He will definitely visit you if you have love for him. You practice his zikrs, you read the Sindhiti, read his Qasid, he will come and visit you. It's no joke. So these beings, they did not die, they just changed form. As a matter of fact, there's no such thing as death. Nobody actually dies. The physical body goes back into the earth and the soul goes back to God. The soul never dies. The soul is a light form that came from God. So when you get in touch with your soul, you're getting in touch with the immortal aspect of yourself, and you too can die before you die so that when you die, you won't die. Let me say that again. Die before you die so that when you die, you won't die. Pass as a Sufi.
Wow. Wow. We got a packed house, Sufi, and we're going to take calls. Area code 323-294. Area code 323-294. Do you have a question or something to share? Last call on 323-294. Do you have a question or anything to share? Well, thank you for listening in. Moving to 917-863. Do you have a question or something to share? 917-863. Okay, thank you for listening in. Okay, area code 470-636. Area code 470-636. Do you have something to share or comment to or a question to ask? Okay, I guess everybody got their sandwich in their mouth and they're just listening. Thank you for listening in. Yes. Okay, area code 917-526. Do you have a question or something to share? 917-526. Do you have a question?
Hello?
Or something to share? Hello? We can hear you.
Peace. This is Brother Brown. It's a wonderful
Brother
service.
Brother Brown!
Hey, how you doing? Brother Brown in the building. What's going on with New York?
I'm just getting back. I was in Detroit for about a month. Since I seen you last.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we was in the park up in New York.
Today.
You
yeah,
saw Brother Nolan?
Yeah, that's who I was out there with.
Did they get
so
that water fixed in Detroit yet? Did they get the water fixed in Detroit yet? Some people from Detroit saying they still didn't fix the water out there.
Well, it's in Flint, and they're saying that they're working on it and all of that. I asked about it. They said, you know, it's getting better.
Getting better. Welcome to America.
That was the answer. Yeah.
Okay, but
Detroit,
go ahead, brother.
Detroit is good, but I just wanted to say thank you, and I just need to get reaffirmation every now and then because everybody just dismisses so much reality and truth. So thank you both for being on the broadcast.
Hey, if you talk to Brother Shaka Zulu from the Zulu Nation anytime before Friday, let him know about the march on Friday because I'm sure Shaka probably want to go to that march up in Harlem because I know he's an avid lover of Sheikh Ahmed Obama.
I sure will.
Wow.
Hey.
Cool. I
that's
be
what's
up. I want to.
Well, I didn't know about it, so I'll be down there also.
Oh, Brother Brown, yeah. It's going to be a sea of love. They do the Zikr, the march. It's going to be at least about 1,000 people from West Africa out there, and they march from 116th Street, Adam Clayton Powell, all the way to 125th and Adam Clayton Powell. Then they have some, there'll be the Bifalls doing the drumming, zikering, singing. Then they give some talks about Sheikh Ahmed Obama outside on the podium on 125th, right where they do the African drumming every Sunday in Harlem. They'll be right there at the exact same spot. It's so beautiful. I've been there so many years in a row. It's so beautiful to be out there with all that love. And it looks, I hate to say it, but it looks like an African fashion show. The brothers,
wow.
It's going to look like an African fashion show. BET ain't got nothing on me. They be coming out in some fly African garbs on that day. I'm telling you.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So,
well, I'm not
going to
hold the line.
How long has the parade been going on?
Man,
I don't know. This is the first time I'm thinking about it, actually.
That parade's been going on for at least 20 years. It's been going on for at least 20 years. I know the first time we went was around 97. We probably went to the first parade around 97, and it had been going on since before that. Because Sheikh Ahmed Obama's son. Oh, my God. 20 years at least, Sheikh Ahmed Obama's son, Sheikh Murtada Mbaki, used to come every year for the celebration. One of Sheikh Ahmed Obama's sons used to come to America every year for that celebration. So we would go from Indianapolis, Indiana, all the way to New York to attend the march in 97, 98, and 99, and Sheikh Ahmed Obama's son would be there.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been going on at least 20 years.
Wow.
Wow.
How come we haven't heard more about this powerful spiritual man here in America, Sheikh Sufi?
Because he's black. I'm just going to tell you straight up, because he's black. Because he look like us. You know, we have a thing called self-hatred where the white man's ice is colder than ours. But we get to a point where we're saying, hold up, I don't even want his ice. I want some ice for my people. So as we wake up and become more conscious and more in love with Africa, we're looking for, you know, I'm going to just say it, I ain't no racist. Tupac said, I ain't no killer, but don't push me. I ain't no racist, but I want my leader to look like me. I don't want no Arab sheikh. I want my leader to look like me, point blank. He got to be from Africa. If it's not African, it's not happening. That's the way I see it. If it's not African, it's not happening. Not for me, because even in spirituality, look what they did with the fake-ass white Jesus. They put white Jesus in the church to give black people an inferiority complex to white people. If the gods you worship don't look like you, you automatically feel second class. Nowhere on the planet Earth does anybody worship a god that don't look like them. If you go to China, the Jesus in China look Chinese.
Exactly.
Jesus in China look Chinese,
only
man.
Only Negroes in America worshiping a white Jesus.
So one spiritual leader, Waruddin Muhammad was the son of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Waruddin Muhammad gave the big argument. He said to the people in the church, he said, why are you painting Jesus white? And the people in the church said, well, the color don't matter. So he said, well, if the color don't matter, just paint him black.
I got a story to share about that.
Go ahead.
I used to be a part of the SCLC in Florida, South Florida, when I was getting out the Coast Guard. And David Jones was the Muhammad Ali's nutritionist back in, this is like 1979, 1980. So we was at a church in the SCLC. We was in a Christian church. And one day we looked at that big white Jesus painted on the wall behind the podium, and we went up there and gave him, let you just say, a melanin makeover. I rounded off Jesus' nose, gave him a nice color brown like you, Brother Brown, changed his flowing black hair to an afro. Do you know what the Negro said? Oh, I forgot. And I did paint his hands and feet. Lordy, look what they did to Jesus.
Don't say that.
That's
my goodness.
They said the Negroes in Overtown, Miami, said, "Lordy, look what they did to Jesus," and fired the preacher. I didn't know about that until 20 years
later.
Don't
say that. Please don't say that, man.
Why
not? That's because in the Bible it says Jesus had the feet the color of burnt brass and hair like sheep's wool. Jesus, in the Bible it said Jesus had feet the color of burnt brass and hair like sheep's wool. Who you know that don't? And plus in the desert, where you going to find some white folks in the desert in the hot-ass sun like that? If his color of feet was burnt brass, we already know brass is brown. And if his hair is like sheep's wool, come on, man. It ain't rocket science. He was black. He had to have been black.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because, you know, they show like Hollywood, you know, in its weirdness, try to depict ancient Egyptians being like looking like Puerto Ricans. You know, like real, just a touch of melanin. Tell us what would happen if you put somebody out there that complexion in the burning sands of the of Egypt. What color would they be by sundown?
They'd be dark. The skin will get darker just because of the sun. And if it don't get darker, they'll have melanoma. They'll probably have skin cancer. Now, I want to say there's another verse in the Bible about Moses. Now, it says that Moses was at the burning bush, and one of the miracles of Moses, it says he put his hand into his garb, and when he pulled out his hand, it turned white. And then it said when he put his hand back into his clothes, it turned back to its original color. So wait a minute, mister. If his hand turned white, and then the Bible says he did the miracle and his hand turned back to its original color, what was the original color of Moses' hand?
Uh-oh. Now you bring common sense into the picture.
They should have took that out of the Bible. If they ain't want you to know Moses was black, they shouldn't have say his hand turned white and then it turned back to its original color. His hand, the original color of Moses was black. You can't hide no baby in black Egypt if the baby is white. Now, if Moses was hiding in Egypt, and Egypt is black, you can't take no white baby and hide no white baby in the black Egypt. They would have found him. That's just it's elementary, my dear Watson.
Yes, 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 indeed, Brother Brown. I want to thank you for being with us, and I hope to see you Friday. I'm going to go up to Harlem, and I'm going to bring my bicycle. So when I get tired of walking, I'm going to ride my bike.
Also, Brother Hank.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Gene at the Black Theater is having an event at the theater Friday, and he wanted everybody to come out.
Oh, let's make that announcement. Thank you, Brother Brown. Friday, National Black Theater, 9 p.m. till 2 a.m., Baba Gene Arnold is celebrating his 76th birthday at the National
Black
Theater in Harlem at 125th Street and 5th Avenue. The National Black Theater is having a special event for Baba Arnold for his 76th birthday party that's happening this Friday from 9 p.m. till 2 a.m. So I got to take my vitamins, so I could be at both events, because I'm going to give Baba Arnold. I'll be there, Brother Brown.
Lahi laha.
And inshallah, is that the right way to say it, Susie? We all will be there.
Inshallah, yep.
Inshallah, we will celebrate Baba Arnold. He's been a cornerstone for the Moorish classes and cultural events at the Harlem National Black Theater for countless years. Also, family, have to bring to your attention, we now have another theater here in Brooklyn. It is called the Black Lady Theater. It is on 750 Nostrand Avenue between Park and Sterling, and it holds standing room, 1,000 people, sitting room, 500. It is available for special events. It's called the Black Lady Theater. It is black-owned. It is the same owners of what was the Slave Theater, but they said, we can't make another Slave Theater. We're going to make the Black Lady Theater. And it's 750 Nostrand Avenue between Park in Sterling, and it has multiple events during the week. And I give a special shout out to Queen Afua because I'm going to be in her class this evening, the Men's Healing Circle, learning how to drink those greens and detox and get rid of that plaque and that the plaque and the toxins that's killing so many of the healers and elders in the community after the age of 30. So I just wanted to make that. Thank you, Brother Brown. You helped me announce that. Sheikh Sufi, how can people reach you?
They can reach me at sheikhsufi@gmail.com, sheikhsufi@gmail.com is my email. Sheikh Sufi again on Instagram and Sheikh Sufi on Facebook. And I have a Sheikh Sufi channel, Sheikh Sufi on YouTube for a lot of the videos of teaching on Sufism. Sheikh Sufi on YouTube. I have a blog, 786sufiwisdom.com, with a lot of the essays on Sufism, 786sufiwisdom.com. I want to also say we will be having a Sufi retreat, but you need to get in contact with me. The Sufi retreat will be in Birmingham, Alabama. That will be 3-day Sufi retreat. We also have some Reiki training going on that weekend, August 11th, 12th, and 13th. If you want to learn more about Sheikh Ahmed Obamba, you want to learn more about Sufism, you can come to Birmingham, Alabama on the weekend of the 11th, 12th, and 13th, and you'll be able to be in the classes that me and Brother El Sahu will be teaching on the metaphysics of the mind, the seven stations of the soul, and meditation and the Sufi zikrs for God realization. But also, since they're having the Sheikh Ahmed Obamba that weekend in Atlanta, Friday we'll meet in Birmingham, Alabama, and do the classes probably till late in the night. That Saturday, inshallah, we will travel as a group, as a delegation, to go to Sheikh Ahmed Obamba in Atlanta and meet the Senegalese community in Atlanta. Come back to Birmingham that night and do more zikr and prayers for the classes on Sunday. So that's a 3-day Sufi retreat in Birmingham, Alabama. If you're interested in that, send an email to sheikhsufi@gmail.com. And we wish you all well. Please research Sheikh Ahmed Obamba. He's the most hidden figure in Islamic history. Sheikh Ahmed Obamba is the most hidden figure, and I think it's because he has the most power. So you can find Sheikh Ahmed Obamba on Google. Look for websites on Sheikh Ahmed Obamba. I've written several books about Sheikh Ahmed Obamba's teaching, and those books are on. Look for Sheikh Sufi books by Sheikh Sufi on Amazon, or you can order the books directly from me for a discount. Bismillah.
Sheikh Sufi, we're rolling up on the 3 o'clock hour. How are you doing? Because we got a packed house, man. You want to take any more calls, or are you going to?
Hey, man, this is my life. I got plenty of time for questions on Islam and Sheikh Ahmed Obamba. Plenty of time.
Okay, because I already got the question when you brought that up. Is it because, like you said, Sheikh Ahmed Obamba is black as the midnight heavens? And that brings up the question, is there also racism in Islam as it is in Christianity?
Man, look, don't get me started. I'm trying not to curse today. My mama wouldn't like me cursing. But when it comes to those Arabs, I'm not going to say it again. Excuse me. When it comes to those Arabs, the Arabs are so racist. Prophet Muhammad himself, peace be upon him, said, 4 generations after me, Islam would be gone. Listen to that.
Whoa.
The best of mankind had to be sent to the worst of mankind. The Arabs were the worst people on the planet Earth, and in my opinion, they probably still some of the worst bastards on the planet Earth. The Arab people ain't got no Islam. Arab people kill Arab people. Arab Muslims kill Arab Muslims. Arab idiots claiming Islam kill innocent people in foreign countries. I always tell people, I don't give a damn if his name is Muhammad, 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 Muhammad. He ain't no Muslim. He's not. Islam is in Africa. Okay, let me calm down. It's so much racism in Islam. I love to tell this joke. It's so much racism in Islam. You could be praying with an Arab Muslim for 5 years, 5 times a day, praying with him in the mosque, and you ask him, Mr. Ali, can I marry your daughter? He's like, nigga, you can't marry my daughter. It's too much racism in Islam. so much racism in Islam. I don't even go around Arab Muslims. I can't stand them. Sometimes you say assalamu alaikum to an Arab, he don't even say wa alaikum salam back. So I just stop greeting them fools. I don't even greet Arab Muslims. When I see them, I walk past them like shit on the street. I do not respect no. Come over here, they sell pork, they sell alcohol in the gas station. They sell pictures of Jesus Christ in the gas station, in the black community. They sell pork chops, they sell alcohol. They don't eat it, they don't drink it, but they sell it to people. I hope them Arabs burn in hell. For real.
Well,
I hope they all. I hope they burn in hell.
Christianity is just as racist. I mean, they got the white Jesus, and as soon as you have a black Messiah being coming from the Congo, we don't hear anything about it, and the Pope put out a hit on them. But they couldn't kill
That's
him.
Crazy. You know what? I had some people ask me, there was an assistant imam of a masjid. I'm not going to say his name because then that'll be backbiting. There was an assistant imam of a masjid where I'm from. And when I came back from Africa studying Islam in 1996, you know what that fool asked me? He asked me, why did you go to Africa to study? He asked me, why did you go to Africa to study Islam? Why didn't you go to an Arab country to study Islam? I'm like, fool, the first Islamic institutions was in Timbuktu. Don't you know the biggest Islamic libraries was in Timbuktu in Mali? He could not conceive of Islamic scholars in Africa. This is a shame.
You know,
I mean,
the more it takes almost 50 years, Sufi, to realize everything we have been taught about religion, science, mathematics, history is upside down, ass backwards, and a goddamn lie. Oops, I'm sorry. No offense.
Yeah, it's
sorry,
a lie.
But just saying, we've been miseducated to make us all rabbit ass fools.
The worst thing the Arabs ever did is they invented this thing called the Salafi Wahhabi Islam. Salafi Wahhabi Islam is like the Jehovah Witnesses in the Islamic movement. The Salafi and Wahhabi people say, if you're not in our group, you're going to hell. How can they say that in Islam? They literally say, if you're not in our Jamaat, if you're not a Salafi or Wahhabi, then you are going to hell as a Muslim. They are worse than Jehovah's Witnesses in Islam. It's founded by some Arabs that did not know Islam, and they just have some bass-ackward doctrines that end up with fundamentalism and what they call so-called terrorism. Now, we know the worst terrorist is the American government. Let me just go online. The worst terrorist in the history of the world is the American government. But these Arabs have put some terrorism in Islam, and if Islam is peace, then how do you have terrorism? So anytime you see a fool on camera screaming jihad, Allahu Akbar, know for a fact he's not Muslim, he's outside of Islam, and if his beard is long as his damn, if his beard is down to his knees, he ain't no Muslim. They're lying. Sheikh Ahmed Bamba, listen to this. My Sheikh Ahmed Bamba said it ain't no more jihad. Sheikh Ahmed Bamba said it ain't no more jihad. It's no more war for Islam. The only war the Arabs do is for politics and for oil. Sheikh Ahmed Bamba said the only war left in Islam is the war against your own bad qualities, or what they call jihad al-nafs, the war against the lower self. The war against your own bad qualities is the only war left in Islam. It's no more outer jihad in Islam, according to Sheikh Ahmed Bamba. So I try not to speak too much about the Arabs, but I warn people of African-American descent, stay away from these Arab Muslims because you don't know what they're into. You don't know what they're talking about. I don't even like to go to too many Arab mosques because they might have some fools in there associated with some dumbass fundamentalist Islamic group, and I don't never want to be associated with those people ever in life. So for me, the only Islam is either – it's got to be from Sheikh Ahmed Tijani from Morocco, Sheikh Abu Hassan Sadli, his people is mostly in Egypt, or in Sheikh Ahmed Bamba, West Africa, or Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, or any – Islamic doctrine that comes from the Sufi path, because the Sufi way is based on love, it's based on the heart, it's based on being a person who's desiring to overcome the lower self and reach the higher self, or what we call God and man. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. You know, the Arabs have pissed me off so much, I just try not to. I used to just go on a rant and lose my Islam and curse them out. But, you know, I got to be a better example for people and stop all that cursing. But Arabs, they piss me off. They really do, because they do not represent Islam, and they actually hijack Islam. And I say they don't have Islam, they have Islam. The real Islam is in Africa. The real Islam is with Sheikh Ahmed Obama and his people. Oh, and in Senegal, they have a Wolof proverb. If you ever want to make somebody from Senegal laugh, say to them, Nar Yakinadini. Nar Yakinadini. Nar Yakinadini is a common phrase you hear in Senegal. Nar Yakinadini means the Arabs messed up our Islam. They say that in Senegal. Yeah, they say that in Senegal all day. Nar, Nar Yakinadini day. Nar Moko Yakinadini day. That means the Arab, Nar means Arab, Yakna means destroyed, Dini is Islam. You hear that all day in Senegal, Nar Yakna Dini, meaning the Arabs messed up our Islam, because they did. They painted the wrong face of Islam, and they got people thinking, most people who meet me, they think I'm a Buddhist. They can't even imagine that I'm Muslim because I'm so peaceful. Most people say, oh, man, you in Buddhism? You study Buddhism? They never can imagine that I'm practicing Islam, because Islam has been given such a violent, negative face. When they meet a peaceful person like me with some zikr beads, the first thing the brothers in the hood say is, oh, Om Mani Padme Hung, you must be practicing Buddhism. They can't even associate Islam with my lifestyle.
Wow. Deep.
Yeah.
Deep.
Yeah,
okay,
that's too much.
Ready? We're going to take another call.
Okay.
Area code 314-680. Area code 314-680. Do you have a question or a comment to share?
Just a comment. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Hello? Sound good, brother. We can hear you.
How you doing? I was that individual that Hank was talking about when he said that I felt the presence in my truck. I had called Hank. You know, he was doing some work and things like that for me and stuff like that, necklace. So, you know, I wanted to give him something extra, you know, for all of the work he's done for me. So I called him, and he showed me all of the work and stuff like that. And he also wanted to demonstrate, you know, by calling these masters, you know, the power, you know, he sat down and he had, there was like a jug of water, you know, one of those big jugs of water. What is it? You know, those where you
yeah.
go and, right. And he showed me, he called on the masters and stuff like that and lifted up high and stuff like that. And immediately I felt this presence in my truck. You know what I'm saying? It was like I was as if I was in a meditative state. You know what I mean? It was powerful. It was real strong. And earlier I had offered him something, and it was like touching my heart to give him some more. And I did. You know? And I felt good about it, too.
And thank you, Inshallah. Thank you, Ashe. Thank you. Gracias. Thank you. Obrigado. Thank you. How you saying, Wolof? Jerry Jeff?
Jerry Jeff. And I think that was the mystic Eduardo. Eduardo is a very positive brother, and he has a very powerful talisman coming his way. This talisman is going to be like, whoa, like incredible. When he gets it, he got a talisman big enough to stop an armored truck. So it's going to be powerful. He's going to be like, I'm walking through here spreading the water like Moses.
Thanks a lot, Sufi.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, yeah. sir.
Okay.
All right, guys.
3:10 is the hour. I'm ready to go get some lunch. I want to thank everybody. And, Sufi, we got a packed house today. This show is recorded, brought to you by HealingWaterBottle.com. Sufi, could you share your contact information again? Oh, and I want to get another copy of the book about Sheikh Amadou Bamba, because I lent it to a beautiful young sister in Jersey that somehow the book never found its way back home. What happens when you lend out a Sheikh Amadou Bamba book? Sheikh Sufi.
You might as well give it as a gift. I had a person tell me the book was stolen out of their locker at work. Who steals an Islamic book out of somebody's locker at work? Come on, man. Just tell me you ain't giving me the book back. So, yeah, the books are available on Amazon, Sheikh Sufi on Amazon, or you could get it from me directly for a discounted price. But my email again is cheikhsufi@gmail.com, cheikhsufi@gmail.com. Anybody interested in more information on Sheikh Ahmed Obama, send me an email, and I could probably give you some information on him that would help you out in your journey to self-discovery. Also, if you don't have a sheikh and you don't have a guru and you're walking on the spiritual path and you want to get some guidance towards reaching God realization and self-realization, you will not find a better path than Sheikh Ahmed Obama. You won't find a higher avatar than Sheikh Ahmed Obama in this time period. And we'd love to give you the initiation, give you the initial prayers, the Shahada, the Bayat, and everything you need to start with the Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim to clear up all your negative karma, so that if you are seeking God realization, you need to have a teacher. You need to have a guru. In West Africa, they say, Omar Sarim, Satan Morsin Sarim. If you don't have a sheikh, the devil is your sheikh. He's leading you, making you think you can reach God without a teacher. Trust me on this. You need a teacher if you want to be a self-realized being. I can give you the initiation into Sheikh Ahmed Obama's way, give you the prayers from him, and get you started on this path, and we walk on this path together. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, Brother Ankh, I want to thank you because Sheikh Ahmed Obama says in Wolof, Kylie Gail Mamafela, Kylie Gail Mamafela. Sheikh Ahmed Obama says, come and work for me, I will pay you. You are doing a magnificent work for Sheikh Ahmed Obama. He's going to pay you in this life and the next life. Brother Ankh Rising Sun, I love you more today than yesterday. I want to thank you for the work you're doing just to help people to know his name, to help people to know there was an African avatar, a sheikh named Sheikh Ahmed Obama, who was here to take people directly back to God. To give that time on your air show is incredible. I love you for your efforts, your purity, your good intention. May Allah bring to you everything you're seeking in this world and the next by the blessings of Sheikh Ahmed Obama, Sheikh Ibrahim Ball, better death.
I want to thank you. Thank you, Eduardo. Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank you for all the listening individuals on the show because, you know, the one common thing we have here in America, the playing field has been angled against us in all the various venues of social, spiritual. It's been angled against us. And we need to know that the truth of it is, whether you're Christian, whether you're Islamic, that the avatars decided to come in a black embodiment to show you, yes, I am worthy. And that's been healing for me, Sheikh Sufi and family, because I was a miseducated Negro. And the one thing I do want to say, if you do decide, whenever, if ever, if you want to light up a blunt of marijuana to smoke, or if you want to do serious entheogens such as peyote, such as mushrooms, such as ayahuasca, ask Sheikh Amadou Bamba to guide your meditation. Ask Saint Germain to guide your meditation. Ask Simeon Toko to protect you. Ask Archangel Michael to surround you. If you sisters feel that your children or you are unsafe in a volatile world, ask for angelic protection, such as the black angel, Archangel Michael, to surround you and protect you, because we've been mind screwed for a long time, and the revelations of truth, it is time to play the drum. I want to thank you again.
I mean.
I want this Friday, Harlem is Sheikh Amadou Bamba Parade starting Friday, 9 a.m. from 116th Street, Adam Clayton Powell, to 125th Street. Also, those who are living in Brooklyn, come see the Black Lady Theater, 750 Nostrand Avenue, between Park and Sterling. Give salutations and appreciation to our elder Baba Arnold at the National Black Theater this Friday, 125th Street and 5th Avenue, his honorary birthday party. I want to thank all the listeners. Thank you, Eduardo. I thank you, Salika. I thank you, Amber. I thank you, Niasia. I thank you, all my brothers and sisters. And let's go out with some drum sounds. There was another brother, Herb, who also wanted to thank you and acknowledge all your wisdom. It's been healing for him, too. So I want to also, Brother Jeff, I want to acknowledge you, and let's continue with the drum roll.